Good morning. This is Darrell Gunter, your host with Leadership on WSOU 89.5 FM and streaming on the net at WSOU.net. Well, I am so happy that we have Mehdi Nordbash as our guest. He's the author, or PhD, author of Augmented. And welcome to the program, Mehdi.
Thanks for having me, Darrell.
I'm very excited to talk about your book, Augmented. Very fancy title, by the way. So, and a lot of people, hopefully they can see your book in the back, but it's Augmented with the A for augment and I for it, but it's AI, which is cool. Could you share with our audience a little bit about your education background before we jump into your book, Augmented?
Absolutely. Yeah. So I started as a structural engineer. And then after a while, I moved to construction site because I was passionate about building the stuff that I design. And in the site, I realized how inefficient and mundane is the process of building buildings. And I set this mission that I want to change this industry. I was very naive and very young. And later on, I continued my higher education in building construction, in design computing, later doing my PhD at Georgia Tech. And that was the time that I was introduced into artificial intelligence and realized that how impactful it could be to the way that we design and we build our buildings, roads, bridges. Later, I started working for Autodesk, a software company in the Bay Area, and moved from Atlanta, Georgia to San Francisco. And today I started my own company, Yegatech, and I help design and construction companies to leverage their data using artificial intelligence and build a sustainable future for all of us.
Wow, that is awesome. And so, is it just the consulting, or are you actually doing some of the design and build as well?
It's more consulting, and it's more on how they can leverage their data and use AI to build buildings that uses less material, to design processes that is optimized, and build buildings that is very energy efficient.
Wow. Wow. And how did this book come about? And how long did it take you to write it?
Yeah, so during pandemic, I, as many of us went through that process of what the hell am I doing with my life? I started thinking about, okay, what's going to be my next move? And I started thinking about what I know. And through my work as a, research manager at Autodesk, in Autodesk R&D, I started seeing some of the projects that are successful, AI projects, and some of the projects that are unsuccessful and don't return the investment that we put in. And I started seeing this pattern and lessons learned. And I put those together. So I had a 100-page document that I was like so excited about. And I showed that to a book coach. And she reviewed them and said, Mehdi, what you wrote in the first 95 pages, forget about it. These are garbage. But the last 5 pages, this is exciting. Like, make every page a chapter and start writing there. And she was right. So that was the genesis, the starting point of writing the book. And since then, I started rewriting and rewriting. I guess I rewrote the book like 8 times. Because I wanted to get it to a quality that I want. And the whole process took 6 months. So,
not long, right?
Yeah.
Wow.
And
pretty intense.
I took my sabbatical. I was like full time, full on into writing the book. And yeah, it's a mind blowing process.
And so, AI involves algorithms, very smart people, data scientists write these algorithms. Do you get involved with the algorithms yourself?
Absolutely, absolutely. Part of my job is to find out and tune the right algorithm for the right use case that brings value at the end of the day. And this is, I throughout my work, I have 7 US patents on creating new algorithms and use cases for artificial intelligence in the manufacturing and in the construction space.
You know, because a lot of people throw AI out there, but a lot of folks, when they say that they're utilizing AI, I'm a layman's technical person. I'll be very honest with you. I understand AI. I appreciate AI. I actually published my own book on blockchain and AI during the pandemic. But it takes very sophisticated algorithms. What are some of the best practices that you've learned and that you look for when you're looking at an algorithm?
Yeah. When we are creating these AI solutions, we always try to, first of all, look into what is the, you know, business outcomes that the company wants to have at the end of the day. And based on that business outcome, what are the data that's available today? And the sooner we can look into the data and we can investigate it, we can de-risk of doing a project that may or may not, you know, return that outcome. And based on the data available, then we will figure out what type of algorithms are the best. Okay. As the starting point. And oftentimes, with, you know, working AI, you need to combine different methods and algorithms. And I'm saying this because at universities, we created all these specializations. Like, people are experts in deep learning and they don't want to look into, for instance, knowledge representation and reasoning or different optimization methods. But in practice, if you really want to create a solution that moves the needle, you have to combine these together. And this is the expertise that is really hard to find.
Wow. And how did you, you noticed that there was waste that was going on, or the right materials weren't being used. And you said, wow, you know, AI can help this. Can you give us a very practical moment where you said, okay, well, here's the problem. Here's how I think we can solve this with AI, and give us an overview about how that all worked out?
Absolutely. I can give you an example, a real example that happened in LA. There was a big design company that the owner wanted to build a 25-story building. And the owner said, look, I have three designs in mind. So this is design A, design B, and design C for the hotel. And I want you, the company, to investigate whether I should build a structure with timber, with steel, or with concrete. So three materials, all have different profiles, and they're all, you know, different in terms of sustainability, in terms of environment, they have different profiles, in terms of the cost, they have different profiles. And the owner gave them 2 months to complete this study. So it's a very early stage in a project. It's in a kind of feasibility study or schematic design phase. And the owner asked these questions. So the design company, what they did was they sent these three different designs with three different materials to a social engineering company and asked them to do the design. And then, you know, well, once they got the results back, they sent it to an estimating company to get the cost estimation back. Each of these, so for one design, if you do the social engineering and cost estimation, it will take 2 months. So three design, three materials means that we have nine combinations. And if you want to do all these nine different combinations, therefore you need to spend like 9 months, which the owner doesn't have.
Right.
So a lot of times, we at the earliest design stage, design of buildings, we make decisions based on the gut feeling without any data, because simulation tools takes a long time to run. And because all of these inefficiencies and fragmentation that exist in the industry. So what we did was we said, what if AI can help with that? So instead of sending that to a structural engineering company, we can create an AI solution that can quickly tell you with 95% accuracy, this is the structure for this building, and this is how much it would cost. And relatively, you can compare that, okay, if I go with timber in this design, this is how much, you know, this is what the design look like, and this is how much it will cost me. So instead of 9 months, you can reduce that into 2 weeks. And this is the value that AI can bring if we use them, you know, at the early design stage of project. It's all about decision making that human needs to make, but that will enable us to make better decisions.
Wow, that is huge. Go from 9 months down to 2 weeks. And I guess it saves a lot of, I mean, of course, time is money, but I guess the project can move along to get their particular financing.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And so when you wrote this book, who did you write it for? Is it an academic book? Is it a everyday building guys book? Or is it for all audiences?
Yeah, I really wanted this book to be a practical book. So I wrote it for CEOs, CIOs, CTOs inside the architecture, engineering, construction companies, or the tech leaders in the industry. And also for people who are curious to know how AI could potentially be used to reduce waste and energy in their buildings, in the roads and infrastructure.
You know, with all the talk about ESG, seems like this is helping to achieve those ESG goals.
Yes, AI is a generic tool. And if you look into what the construction is responsible today, these are some of the, you know, statistics that I'm not really proud of, but 1 out of 5 deaths happens in construction. It's the second highest rate of suicide compared to other industries. It's the number one consumer of natural resources. It's responsible for 23% air pollution, 50% landfill waste, is 40% water pollution, 50% of CO2 emission, and 40% of worldwide energy usage. So these are the statistics that we have to change. And one of the other reasons that I wrote this book is that I believe that technology can help to reduce some of these issues and pain points. And AI as a generic technology can especially help to make roads, bridges, buildings more sustainable and more affordable. And, you know, by reducing a material or creating a new material that uses less energy to produce compared to cements and, you know, steel and aluminum, we can do that together. We can create this technology that can help everybody in the planet.
You know, it's very interesting. I'm good friends with folks at the American Society of Mechanical Engineers, with folks at IEEE. Have you spoken at any of their conferences about your book?
Not yet. Maybe that's something that we can work together.
Okay. Yeah, I'm in scholarly publishing as well. Been in scholarly publishing since 96, and these are the people that I constantly, you know, talk to about a variety of different things for that. Would love to work with you on that. And so I guess my next question is, what do you want the reader to learn and come away with? I guess I can answer my own question, but please elaborate. It's that they're going to come away with a new way of thinking, using new materials, new sources of resources to build a more efficient, better building.
Yes, yes. The main thing that I hope the reader can get out of this is just to understand what AI is and what it is not, what it can do and what it cannot do. I interviewed more than, you know, 40, 50 people for the book in different stages of the book writing. And one question I asked was, what should I put in the book that makes it a, you know, worthwhile read? And the pattern between all the answers was, tell us what it really can do and what it cannot do, and what's the line in between. Mm-hmm. So I hope that reader come out of it with the realistic expectation about AI, because media today, especially Hollywood, created this hype and some unrealistic expectations about AI. You watch movies like Terminator and Ex Machina, and you think that you either gonna be so excited about it, but you either gonna have lots of fear. None of them are right. The answer is somewhere in between. And often as human, if we don't understand something, we try to avoid it, or we try to create an irrational fear about it, which doesn't help anyone. So my hope is that by understanding what AI is, we can help the technologists in the market to build a technology that is useful for us. Otherwise, if we are not part of that conversation, they're going to build whatever they think is useful to us. And that's a big waste for everyone.
Wow. And so your book is in four parts. Can you share with us what those four parts are and the significance of each part?
Absolutely. So the first part is, why AI is your secret power. And that basically talks about, we need to do a lot more because the population is increasing. We need to build faster. We need to be more efficient. And we have less resources because a lot of baby boomers are retiring and nobody wants to work in the construction industry. And so we need to do a lot more with less resources. Our material shortage are significant. And, we need to build faster because of all the hurricanes and snowstorm. And, we need to be very efficient. So we can't do that on our own, and we need to use technology. So that's part one. And part two talks about, is called AI education. So in this part, I'll talk about what AI is, what it is not, what are AI systems, how data is being used, what are the five different dimensions of data that you need to consider, and what are the biases in AI system and how to avoid them. And I bring, provide lots of examples, and that wraps up the second part. In part three, AI in action, I talk about a four-step framework that I created based on all the lessons learned that I had. So this is a four-step framework for creating an AI solution. First phase is, how defining low-hanging fruits, and then going into the invent phase. And each of these has, sub-segments. I'll talk about them. And then going into innovate phase, and then into scaling the solution and augmenting your capabilities in the company. And the last part is called AI in practice. I give three case studies that went through all of these steps in the framework and how they could augment their capabilities and create a better buildings and better environments. And that wraps up all the four parts in the book.
Wow, that is awesome. And then you provide a free, it's part of the purchase, but workbook. Let's talk about the workbook. That's all. Of all the guests that I've had, I think you're the first one that has actually offered a workbook with a QR code to get access to it.
Yeah, absolutely. So a lot of people ask me, okay, what's the starting point? You said low-hanging fruits, we need to find that, but how can we do that? And so that's what is inside the free workbook. It takes you through the steps that you need to take from forming a team into brainstorming with the team about different AI opportunities, finding or guessing AI solution, prioritizing and ranking them, and finding the ones that are strategic maybe but it's too difficult, or the ones that are strategic and easier to do. And that's what I call the low-hanging fruits. And also I share a template of AI planning, so if you want to run a project, you need to plan for it. And this is what often is being missed, and how you can create a plan that sets you for success. And All of this is available in the workbook, and you can access that on my website, www.mehdinour.com, or the book's website, augmented-book.com. And yeah, hope you enjoy it. And if you had any question, you can ask me.
There you go. And your book can be purchased in all of the normal outlets, Amazon, Barnes and Nobles, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Absolutely.
So it seems to me that you are representing a new era of learning. And it seems like these young scientific minds before college or high schools or even grade schools, because, you know, Apple, there's some commercials that are on that are great for AWS, where, you know, you see this young teenager, she's telling her mom about, you know, all that she's creating. Have you thought about lecturing or giving talks to, you know, the folks in the K-12 area?
Yes, absolutely. I thought about them a lot. You know, I used to be a mentor at the Spark program here in the Bay Area, helping the kids to get up to speed with technology and also bring them to a tech company and working with them in a project. And a lot of the kids that I've seen, you know, was super talented. You know, and you know, I always say, if these are the future generation, we'll be in good hands. Also, last week I was at Georgia Tech to receive my 40 Under 40 award, and through the Georgia Tech program, we have access to lots of kids and also early college students. And it's very important for us to keep the door open for talents in the industry, because this is the industry that touches everyone on the planet, and no exception included. And it's very important for us to train the future generation on how to create new materials, new buildings mm-hmm. that are, you know, high performative and are sustainable.
Have you considered to approach the United Nations about your book? Because, you know, they have their sustainability goals, and your book touches upon all those areas. Have you considered to have a conversation with them about lecturing to their audiences?
I would love to. Darren, again, we need to talk about this offline.
And of course, I'm sure you have published a number of peer-reviewed papers.
Absolutely.
And with those peer-reviewed papers, will people get a glimpse of, you know, your thinking further than, of course, than your book goes?
Yes. Those are more like scientific papers on the algorithms and, you know, different means and methods. And really the hope is that offer that to the, you know, scientific science community so that they can build on top of that. Mm-hmm. It's less about me hiding, you know, my algorithm. Is more about, you know, enabling the future generation and science to build more faster.
Out of curiosity, are you familiar with the ORCID organization?
Is it the one that it relates ORCID to?
Is the ORCID ID where?
Yes.
Are you on ORCID?
Yes, I am.
Then I'm on ORCID as well, but I'm going to check out all of your papers. So what are your plans for augmented over the next 12 months?
Yeah, the plan really is to spread the word out and help as many design and construction and facility management companies as possible. There's one thing to just, you know, write a book and put it out there. There's another thing to just help them to leverage the technology and bring value to their customers, which is all of us. So my real goal is to help as many as these companies as possible in the architecture, engineering, and construction space.
Now, your consulting firm, is it just you and your wife, or you have a team of people?
I have a team of people that worked with me to build these solutions, and I'm so proud of their talents. And this is how we can scale and you know help more companies.
So if I understand correctly, every client, you write an algorithm for a very specific project for your clients.
It really depends. It's more about, most of the time these algorithms are available and they need to be tuned in a way that, returns the business value that we expect. If those algorithms are not available, then we need to figure out how we can, create one. And this is where we need to combine different means and methods and scientific ways of creating a new thing that mm-hmm. then we can test and see if it works or not. So it will become more like a R&D, and we need to create these hypotheses and test that in action for a time to see if it works or doesn't work.
Mm-hmm. I was very moved by your statement, and if you can, describe the power of we. You mentioned that in your book.
Yeah, absolutely. So I believe, with all the growth in the population and with all the things that happens, climate change and things that are happening, I believe that the way that we used to design and build buildings, bridges, roads, won't work in the future. We won't have enough materials. We won't have enough resources. We won't have enough talents to be able to do that in such a short time, especially with the increasing population. So, and the only way that we can pull it off and create a sustainable future for all of us is if we can put our hands and our heads together and change this industry to be more sustainable and more equitable for everyone.
Wow, that is great. So we're down to the end of our interview. I always like to give my guests the last words. What is it that you would like to share with our audience about your book, Augmented?
Yeah, I will say, please feel free to pick it up in your favorite store. It's available on Amazon. If you go to augmented-book.com, you will see all the list of all the providers there. And let's start a conversation. Let's, have a conversation about how we can work together to change this industry, how we can work together to augment our capabilities and enable the future generation to live in a built environment that's more affordable and more sustainable.
Wow. Well, that is great. Ladies and gentlemen, we are here with Mr. Mehdi Nurkbash. Did I say that correctly?
Absolutely.
PhD. He's the author of Augmented. It's a great book about artificial intelligence in the construction, structural engineering area. It's a great read. And also he and his team are available to speak at any of your STEM events that you might have on your campus or in your K-12 school. Mehdi, I want to thank you for coming on the program.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. And thank you for spreading the word, and look forward to getting in touch with your audience.
Beautiful. Ladies and gentlemen, that wraps it up this week on Leadership with Darrell W. Gunter on WSOU 89.5 FM and streaming on the net at WSOU.net. We want you to have a great weekend, but remember, leadership begins with you.